Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Relationships That Work, the Power of Conscious Living Show, an adventure in self-realization and conscious living. This is a place and time for spiritually based transformation through empowered communication, courageous introspection, and purposeful action. Integrate ancient wisdom into your daily life and relationships. Let's join our host, Dr. David Wolf.
Welcome to the Self-Talk Radio Show. This is David Wolf, your host. Welcome to the Self-Talk Radio Show. I'm here in the Self-Talk Studios in cloudy Alachua, Florida, with Marie Glashine at the controls, and we have a special guest here today. That's our special guest, someone with whom I've shared adventures for like about 8 years now in different corners of the globe, from the forests of Germany to Gainesville, Florida, to the vast expanses of Alberta, Canada. And this is... I thought to start on a sort of poetic note there. I don't know. So we're here with Mr. Antoine Palmer. Antoine, I consider him a very good friend and inspiration for me for close to a decade now. And we talk in Sofitov environment about spiritually based personal growth and high level communication and creating a culture of trust and inspiring leadership based on principles like clear intention and be, do, have, and 100% personal accountability, both on an intrapersonal level and on a societal level. And for me, Antoine not just speaks a good game, Antoine manifests that in all areas of his life. And thank you for being on the show. Thank you for being on the show, Antoine. I'm honored
My pleasure.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
Yes. And yes, so we were just having a pre-show chat, and we were talking about a culture of transformational community, a culture of personal growth community. And yeah, I really, we sometimes say how leadership is not intrinsically a position or a title. Leadership is a choice, and I see you manifesting that in your life by your way of being a natural leader. And so what would you like to share with our listening audience?
Well, I moved back to Edmonton, Alberta in 2007. I was living in Europe for about 10 years. And so that's where you and I met, right? So 2003, I guess, was my first experience of the Sefatov courses. And so that was a pivotal, profound experience for me. And then I was involved with a few communities in Vienna, Austria, and in Berlin. And so I felt that the communication and the transformational work that the courses offer would be really valuable to those communities. So we invited you back to Germany and organized several courses and had all of our leaders in those communities, have the opportunity to do that work and get some training. And that was for me personally, and I took the course with Nico, my wife. We did that together. So for me personally, for my marriage, my family, and then for the community, introducing the transformational element was profound on each of those levels. It completely transformed the entire culture of our community, and also it has been on a daily basis one of the pillars of my marriage, and shows up in parenting. I have three little girls, and so it's really relevant in all those areas. So I was involved with other courses around Europe and sharing the transformational work with other communities. So I had, you know, I had a steady diet of transformation there for, I think it was about 4 years, no, maybe 3 years.
Three, 4 years.
More or less regularly. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so what happened was I came to Edmonton in 2007, and my focus here was business and real estate investment and gradually, you know, moving into the things that I really care about, which is sustainability and community development. And so, you know, I initiated a number of projects on each of those, in each of those areas. And,
yes.
You know, I was very engaged with that. And so from 2007 till 2010, I was focused on that. And I realized at the end of 2009 that I was, in a certain way, I was getting fat. You know, it's like if you exercise regularly for a number of years and you build a really healthy physical frame,
yes.
That will have a lasting impact for the rest of your life in terms of unless you just really take up some really, really bad habits, but but you know, just having
practice yoga, for example. Right.
Yeah?
It gives you a reference point, and that when you're going complacent, you'll recognize it because you were in good shape for a few years there.
Well, it actually kind of crept up on me. Everything I learned was present in my life, but what really struck me in beginning of 2010, because 2010 was an important transition year for me again in a number of ways. What really struck me was that it's really valuable to sustain a transformational culture on a regular basis for me in my life. It's really valuable to have that context. Yeah. It's like, you know, what I see is that unless I create the transformational culture in my environment, it doesn't tend to happen spontaneously.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like the default setting of the cultural environment is that we tend not to hold each other accountable consistently. We tend to tolerate each other's pretenses. You know, so there's this kind of protective, defensive mode of politeness and, you know, cordiality that pervades, and that, you know, every now and then we poke through it, especially with people that we're close to and that we trust.
Yes.
And so we can have intimacy. But as a general kind of communal dynamic, deep, authentic accountability is not the rule.
The entropy of ordinary society will tend to bring us away from self-awareness and transformational culture.
Yes, yeah, and genuine, deep, vulnerable, trusting relationships, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So you know, so for me, what transformation, that's kind of one of the key distinctions for me about transformation and how transformation is a powerful environment for learning. It's because, you know, for example, one of the things that impressed me the most about the foundational course, the Self-Fulfilled Foundational course, is that, you know, in the first day of the course, within 8 hours, I would say, just by being systematic and about principled communication, structured principled communication, you know, breaking communication down into its component parts, understanding how it works, and then understanding how to you know, communicate authentically, consistently, by creating that culture in a matter of hours, you know, my experience in the foundational course was just a profound culture of trust and a kind of culture where I didn't feel the need to defend myself. You know, I didn't feel the need to keep these pretenses up as a protection. And so, you know, in that environment now where I can be more, I guess, accountable to my own way of being, about my own way of being, and also just more honest about, you know, what's working, what's not working in my life, in that environment, I can learn very effectively. And so that's, for me, one of the key distinctions about transformational work. And so to have that culture, to create a community around myself where the people that are close to me are people who are going to hold me accountable, the people who are going to tell me when I'm, not being authentic, I guess,
when you got some self-deceptions going on, that sort of thing.
Because we
don't want to get in trouble with the FCC here. Yes, and so we all have blind spots, and then to the extent that we create a transformational culture supporting and challenging each other in self-realization, then we're engaging people in shining the light lovingly and compassionately, challenging us that, well, here, this seems to be a blind spot that on your own you might not pick up for a few decades.
Yeah. So I guess, you are steeped in the transformational environment, so you must see this all over the place, right? I mean, this is the constant conversation in your world is authenticity and accountability, and all of these principles are very prominent. And, that's one of the things that's inspired me most about you and seeing you operate is just how you've managed to create that as a deeply present theme every day. What is it?
I appreciate that. That's our endeavor in the Sofitobe environment, the Sofitobe programs. That's our endeavor to this commitment to self-realization, spiritually based transformation, excellence in communication. That's our endeavor, and I find it so important for me to be surrounded by it, and that's one of my motivations for creating the Sofitobe programs.
Right. So what would you say are some of, not everybody is going to be a transformational course facilitator, right? What are some of the ways that are effective and what you've seen perhaps in graduates of the programs and some of your coaching clients? What are some of the themes that you've seen that are effective ways of sustaining and maintaining a transformational culture in daily life?
Oh, we switch roles. I'm being interviewed. Okay, that's fun. I kind of see just the sort of thing, that I'm, inspired to see you do. We say, like, we recently this weekend we did the foundational seminar in Gainesville, Florida. And the seminar technically ended Sunday night around 9:00. So through the seminar, I'll say the seminar begins at 9:00 on Sunday night, the seminar.
Right.
So because what we create in the 3-day or the 6-day seminar is important. And what's more vital is what we do with it for the next 30 years, 50 years, for generations. It's just so that the seminar experience or the coaching experience, it doesn't become a faded memory or nostalgia. It's a seed that grows and blossoms more and more, whether it's about the communication aspects, the self-awareness aspects, the living from be, do, have, rather than have, do, be. And so for me, it's real exciting to see people take their experience from the Sofitobe seminars into their life. And how to do that? Well, that's applying the skills, living the principles, surrounding ourselves with people who are committed to this way of being. And that's, it's what we call that the Sangha principle, the association principle. That's why if we look over the years, over the years in Sofitobe, we've endeavored to create more and more structures for after the seminar or after a coaching package for people to continue in that Sangha. One great way to continue the Sangha is like people go back to their hometown and organize courses, just like you're taking responsibility that there's going to be another foundational seminar in Edmonton because you're committed to surround yourself with a transformational community.
Yeah, and it's, I don't I don't do seminars very much. You know, I have done all kinds of training in the past. I did mediation and conflict resolution training for 2 years, and that involved a lot of different seminars and so on. And as an entrepreneur, I've taken a number of different courses, to learn about financial management and venture capital all kinds of different important, relevant skills. And in the entrepreneurial community, there's a substantial market for seminars. You know, there's a lot of seminars that are done, and a lot of seminars that are sold. And I've come to a point where I just, I have my projects and I have the work that I do. And so if I go to a seminar, it's going to be something that's very, very specific to, a specific project, specific skill set, something along those lines. So for
very,
me,
very, very targeted for your purposes.
Yeah, exactly. And I also see, in the entrepreneurial community, there's a certain sector where, they maybe go to more seminars than they actually take action with their projects. There's words that float around like seminar junkie and that kind of thing. So, and I've seen that, and I think that the whole seminar culture and market is going through some kind of shifts in terms of the culture of educational products in North America. And so I don't market seminars. I don't organize seminars. I don't do any of that. That's not kind of my line of business. And so for me, putting a Sapto seminar together is, it's not like really a business venture for me. Although it looks like financially there's abundance around the course that we're organizing, which is wonderful. But I think that the point I'm making is that being connected to the transformational environment is something it seems like stepping out of everyday life in a way, because you're going to the seminar environment, which is kind of a laboratory setting. But, what I've really realized out of this whole, kind of transition, being deeply involved and then for 3 years kind of not doing much transformation work, and then now being very deliberate about having it be a regular part of my life, is that it's missing. It's something that can be a part of everyday human interaction. It can be one of the inherent qualities of community culture, and it has to be created that way. And if we had a culture that had all those qualities, then we wouldn't necessarily need these seminars. And so for me, bringing the transformational structure of a weekend seminar into various communities that I'm involved with in Edmonton is a way to create that impetus to start to catalyze some of the principles of effective relationship and transformational, like really, and again, coming back to that, we hold each other, that we are clear about what we want, and we're holding each other accountable to what we say and what we commit to. And it's like this, the quality of transformation in community is something that I think we don't realize it's missing, because the power of it is inconceivable until we actually experience it in a deeply impactful way. And so that was one of the core realizations that I took away from this episode, of course, was that coming out of that experience, I had a new paradigm of what was possible. Level of trust and effectiveness and integrity in a group setting, I had not conceived of that being possible. It didn't occur to me that that community could work that way. And so,
right. And you realize now that you're in Canada there that you want to create an immersion in that for as many people as possible. You use the word to catalyze and to synthesize and synergize that the more and more people who have that immersion experience in the transformational community and culture for the 3 days or the 6 days, then that's going to establish that transformational community there in your city.
Yeah, at least as far as my eye can see, it's like it's by being a stand for this conversation in my life, I am creating a certain radius of you know that culture, and I don't know how far exactly it'll extend, but at least you know I have my horizon, and I just want that wherever I wander in my life, that I have touch points, you know, where just like last week, for example, a friend of mine who I, you know, very close to, an incredibly talented, intelligent, highly integral, a very effective communicator. So he called me up about a project that he's working on and some challenges that he experienced with one of his partners. And we had this powerful conversation. And the reason it was powerful was because we have a shared culture of accountability. And so, you know, I could sit down with him and really get into his world and what his challenges were. And then when from that conversation, some things started to emerge about where his leverage was, where he could take responsibility, and he could empower his partner. And because of the culture, he got it right away. You know, he didn't feel the need to defend himself, you know, against what, you know, what might be a sensitive issue. He, for him, it was enlivening to be able to connect with a point of leverage for him to realize that, wow, I can take responsibility for this. You know, this is something that I have the power to change in my own way of being that can be, have an impact on the situation. And so he took that and he went, and now they're moving forward the project on it. And it was amazing. It was amazing transformation in the relationship.
Because that culture of that culture of communication was there. Because in any relationship, there's going to be issues and tensions and challenges. And if that culture of communication is established, then we use a term that we get to transform conflict, apparent conflict, into closeness. And I'm hearing that was there rather than spending hours or days or weeks in defense and different roadblocks and deviations and different game playing. It was direct, and the apparent tension became a source of deeper closeness and inspiration.
Yeah, and an opportunity too, because they just went through a big challenge successfully, and now that is a new benchmark for their project that they can, you know, launch from into the next phase. So
I appreciate you shared that.
Okay. Sorry.
Go on, Antoine.
Did you want to say something? Okay. And it's also, you know, for me too. Like I have some of the projects that I'm working on right now, with the, you know, community projects and real estate projects. And, you know, projects around sustainability and stuff. Some of them are, you know, some of them are projects that have significant, you know, like there are opportunities for me to step up in certain ways into a new level of initiative. And so it's scary, you know, like it's scary to take those risks. It's scary to go out and talk to people about my vision and my passion and kind of like put my heart on the table and then let them do what they will with it.
Yeah.
And this is investors and partners and different stakeholders. And so I have resources too. You know, I have people that I call up and I say, look, this is what I'm about to do. And I'm scared. And I put it on the table and it's great, you know, because we have this, I know they're not going to just, you know, butter me up. And I know they're not going to just, you know, praise me or encourage me in an artificial way. They're going to poke holes in my premises, and they're going to challenge the places where I have doubt, and the result of that is that I'm stronger, I'm clearer, and just having sat down and shared that conversation, it makes things real. You know, if I have an idea or a project that, you know, I'm passionate about, but I just sit in my room and journal about it, then you know, I don't get out of my comfort zone and the project does not become reality. But by going out and having these conversations and you know, putting it on the line, you know, taking that risk of enrolling people in what I'm trying to create, it becomes real. And so again, environment, having a sorry, what?
It's transformation in action.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And having the environment where I have a supportive network that supports me in a way that's real and authentic and challenging, and there's trust, and there's also, you know, like they hold me accountable to the things I'm committing to, is incredibly powerful. It propels me. Yeah.
I appreciate that, Antoine. Now, we're speaking here on the Sofitove Radio Show with Antoine Palmer. He's creating a Sofitove Foundational Seminar in Edmonton, Canada, May 13th to 15th. Edmonton, Canada, May 13th to 15th. There's a page about it on Facebook. There's a page about it on the sofitove.com. We have maybe 2 or 3 minutes in the Sofitove Radio Show. Antoine, I'm thinking that our listeners might be interested in the part of your biography. There's a part of your biography there that describes Antoine Palmer, Edmonton's one and only monk turned business consultant.
Yes.
Anything you want to say about that? Anything you want to say about that?
Yeah, well, that was, you know.
For me, that sort of relates to, we talk about the one in front of the zeros, that self-realization, spiritual element of all personal growth. So, and that's just like so colorful. One and only monk turned business consultant. So.
Yeah, well, you know, so I was a monk for 5 years, and for another 5 years I trained other monks, and so I have, in the Hindu tradition, and I have, so that was an incredibly powerful experience for me, and a valuable education in many ways, and also was really my initiation into community development and understanding, you know, what it takes to be a leader in community. And also learning about all the different aspects of community that need to be properly managed in order to have healthy community, everything from the social, communication, relationship aspect to economics, finance, business, you know, and governance and things like that. So, you know, so that was an incredibly valuable experience for me. And it's like, so that's where I come from, right? That's my context is
yes,
community, and just deep, full presence. And, you know, my approach to spirituality does not have any particular doctrinal structure necessarily.
Yes. Right.
You know, it's like I'm just really present to the magic of being, you know, for me, all of my experience as a monk kind of culminated in this point where I just realized that the fact that I am a conscious being present in this moment right now, you know, with all the things that are going around me, my phone and the internet and my home and my children, all these things around me, but I am in the center of that experience, I am a conscious being. I just realized that it's so easy to take that for granted, you know, it's so easy for granted the mystery of the existence of consciousness. It's such an incredible phenomenon. And so from that place of conscious being, the process of creation is also an incredible experience. And so for me, the projects that I take on in the world are projects that are based in my experience as a conscious being playing a game in the physical world and just reveling in all the interactions, the interpersonal reactions, the inner spiritual dynamics that come out of those opportunities and the games that we play. So, yeah, you know, all of the projects that I take on, they have the aspect of community and sustainability and those things which I just feel are important. And to me, obvious qualities that are necessary in a project that's in harmony with the universe, which I guess is the ultimate project. And
thank you, Antoine.
And
we're going to be cut off in a second. We're going to be cut off in a second. We've been speaking with Antoine Palmer on the Sofitope Radio Show, your station for self-realization. Antoine, are you still on the line? Maybe not. Okay.